God be the glory. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's turn that music up a little bit. Hallelujah. Listen here. Charlie was a man about 69. He went to our church back in the Georgia Pines. He lost his wife and his kids were gone. But every Sunday night after the special song, the preacher would ask the people to testify. Charlie stand up with a gleam in his eye. Never was a man of very many words. Most of the time all that you heard was, my glory, glory, glory. That was all that he said. That was his story. Oh, my glory, glory, glory. Glory, 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 oh my. Well, he looked kind of funny with that big old grin. I said, hey, hey, mama, what's the matter with him? She pulled me close and then she took my hand. She said, someday, baby, you will understand. Sunday after Sunday, dear, in prayer meeting night, preacher stand up when the feeling was right. He raised both his hands and he started to cry. Then he'd open up and testify. And he said, oh, my glory, glory, glory. That was all that he said. That was his story. Oh, my glory, glory, glory. Glory, 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 oh my. Later, we went back to see if that little country church was how it used to be. Mom and Daddy and Charlie were gone when the preacher got up after the special song. Something very strange began to happen to me. I was shaking all over, I was weak in the knees. I stood there crying and I tried to explain, but Charlie's words were all I could say. And I said, oh, glory, 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 that was all I could say. That was my story. Oh, my glory, glory, glory. Glory, 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 oh my. Oh, my glory, 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 that was all I could say. That was my story. Oh, my glory, glory, glory. Glory, 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 oh my. Glory, 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 that was all I could say. That was my story. Oh, my glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, my glory, glory, glory. That was all I could say. That was my story. Oh, my glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. God be the glory.
Amen. Children, you can go out to children's church, 3 to 10 years old. You can follow Brother and Sister Gray out these doors right here. Amen. I think they got some treats out there for you this morning. Amen. Brother, you're going to get you a dolly for long. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. How many can say glory today? Amen. I'm glad I can say glory today. Amen. Thank you today, Jesus. Lord's good to us, church. He's good to us this morning. Amen. I'm glad that we can praise Him. I'm glad that we can come together and worship Him today. Amen. If you got your Bibles, turn over to Philippians chapter number 3. While you're turning, I'd like to read something there. Appropriate attire for worship. Sister Hottinger and giving me this morning. I've heard it before. It says, on one Sunday morning, as an old cowboy entered in a church just before the service were to begin, although the old man and his clothes were spotless clean, he wore jeans and denim shirt and boots that were very worn and ragged. And in his hand, he carried a worn out, and he did a hat just as equal, and a worn out Bible. The church he entered in was a very upscale and executive part of the city, It was the largest and most beautiful church in the old cowboy had ever seen. The people of the congregation were all dressed with expensive clothes and accessories. As the cowboy took his seat, the others moved away from him. No one greeted, spoke to him, or welcomed him. They were appalled at his appearance, and they did not attempt to hide it. The preacher gave a long sermon about hellfire and brimstone and a stern lecture on how such money in the church need to go to God's work. As the old cowboy was leaving the church, the preacher approached him and asked the cowboy to do him a favor. Before you come back again, have a talk with God and ask him what he thinks would be the appropriate attire to worship. Ask him for the worship. And the old cowboy assured the preacher he would. The next Sunday he showed back up the service wearing the same ragged jeans, shirt, boots, and hat. Once again, he was completely shunned and ignored. The preacher approached the man and said, "I thought I asked you to speak to God before you came back to our church." "I did," replied the old cowboy. "If you spoke to God, what did he tell you the proper attire should be for the worship in here?" asked the preacher. "Well, sir, God told me that he didn't have a clue what I should wear. He says he'd never been here before." Amen. Amen. Said, "I've never been here before." See, that tells you right there, church, the church service is not in what we wear. The church service is not in what we think we own and think how good we are. The church service is all about, do we know Jesus? Are we going to lift him up today? Amen. I tell you, I feel like there's been a lot of time that people have felt cold shoulders when they walked into church because they didn't have what they felt like was appropriate for the people sitting around them. But I'm telling you what, I'm glad that Jesus don't look at my clothes. I'm glad that Jesus don't look at my clothes. I'm glad, Sister Eva, that he looks at my heart. Amen. I'm glad that he looked at my heart, Sister Francis, and he called me the way I was. Amen. I'm glad I could come to him the way I was. And I'm glad today that he'll put a love and he'll put joy in your heart, that you'll welcome that one that comes in the door. Amen. Amen. It's good to have everybody here today. Amen. I've got a couple of old friends that are here. I ain't going to call the names. They never heard me preach before, and it's good to see them today. Amen. They know who they are. Amen. I worked around some of them, went to school with some of them, and I just thank the Lord they're able to be here today. Amen. So if you got your Bibles, let's get over to Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10. It says, "What I say now, what I say, for what may I know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death? If by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I already obtained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God and Christ Jesus." Let us pray. Lord, we thank you today, Jesus, that we're in your house again. We thank you for your holy word that you've given us. I pray today that you'd anoint me to speak this word. And Lord, I pray that you'd give me only the words that you'd have me to say. Let me say nothing more, nothing less. Lord, we plead your blood upon this service. I plead your blood today, and I bind the powers of Satan that would try to distract, that would try to interfere. We come against it in Jesus' name, and we ask for that blood to just cleanse all of us. We ask for that anointing power to anoint our ears to receive the word. And Jesus, I know, Lord, if we'll open our hearts up today, I know that no one will leave this building like they come. But we ask in your name, Jesus, that your will's going to be done. I praise you today. Amen. I've preached this message several times, many times, but I want to go in a little bit different direction. I'll start out kind of like, I guess how you probably heard it preached before, but I got something at the end of this message the Lord laid on my heart that I feel like a touch every heart in this building. There's some that I wish was here this morning that they could hear this word, and maybe you'll get them a tape and carry it to them because I believe they need to hear it. Amen. I believe I got a word from God today. Amen. I believe I heard from the Lord. Amen. Oh, I tell you what, it don't come easy. You spend lots of hours rolling in that bed in the middle of the night. Amen. I know a lot of you probably sleeping, but I was fighting it last night. Amen. Why? Because there was a warfare going on. There was a battle going on because I felt like that there was a word that needed to be delivered to God's house today because somebody is fighting this same battle that this Word is going to help you today. I'm telling you today, we've got to learn to take God's Word, to consume that Word, get it on the inside of us, and then we can stand up and fight against the power of hell today. Amen. I'm glad God's Word is true. Amen. Down in verse 13 it says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. We know that we hang so much on the past. Every one of us, we have a past. There's not one in this building that does not have a past. And that past, if we're not careful, will drag us down. That past will come back and torment us. That past will rise up when you don't want to hear about that past. It'll rise up and refresh itself in your ear and in your mind, and it'll drag you down. But I'm telling you, God's Word says, I've got to forget those things that are behind. Amen. I've got to forget those things that are behind. Amen. And I'm not talking about just when I got saved, everything from the time I got saved backwards, I forget. I'm telling you, there's sometimes in my Christian life that I got to walk up and say, wait a minute, I got to forget those things that are happening, because if I don't, they're going to pull me down and they're going to choke me out and they're going to kill me. But church, the devil tells us that we cannot forget those things. I'm telling you, you can. God's Word says you can this morning. God's Word says you can this morning. Amen. I'm not telling you that that dart's not going to fly in your mind, that he's not going to send that thought through your mind, but I'm telling you, you do not have to entertain that thought. You do not have to entertain the thought of the past. You can forget it and walk away from it. And every time you come back, you'll see it again, but you can say, wait a minute, I've been drugged down that road before, and I'm not going to allow myself to venture back down that road again, because I know there's death on that road. Amen. Forgetting those things that are behind. Amen. You know what? I can worry all I want to worry today. You can worry all you want to worry right now. Everybody in this building can just worry till we make ourselves sick. And you know what? It ain't going to change anything that happened yesterday. All it's going to do is give you ulcer, an upset stomach, and a migraine headache because you worried about what you did yesterday. I'm telling you, it's time we get over yesterday and start worrying about tomorrow, because tomorrow we can change by the power of the Lord today. Amen. Yes, there's a lot of things I'd like to change in my life, but I cannot change the past, Brother Jamie. All I can do is change the future and walk in the Lord and follow His direction, and He'll lead me down the paths of righteousness. Amen. I want to get on because I ain't got to my message. Amen. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before me. Amen. See, here sometimes we forget that we got to do some action. The Word says we got to reach, reaching forth. I got to use a little bit of action. I think sometimes we get to the place that we say, okay, Lord, I need a blessing today. I'm going to stand right here and I'm not going to move. I want you to drop it at my feet. Amen. I need it to be dropped at my feet. I'm not going to do anything. I forgot the past, but I need a blessing. Oh, I tell you, He says we got to reach. It takes action to reach. It takes an effort. It takes me doing something. Oh, I tell you today, church, it takes me doing something. It takes me reaching. And through those reaching, I'm using action. And I want us to know today that our actions will speak a lot louder than our words. That old saying there, people praying for rain. Come to the church and we need to start praying for no rain for a while. But people praying for rain come in the church, leave all the windows down. What kind of faith and what kind of action is that showing? But those ones that would pray for the rain come in the church with the windows rolled up and the umbrella leaned against the door on the inside. That shows me that they put actions with their faith. They've done something. They put the action. And church, I think today that we need to learn to put actions with our word. We need to say, wait a minute, I believe my brother, I believe my sister's going to get saved. And therefore, I think I'll just go buy them a brand new set of clothes that they can wear to church. Why? Because I feel like the Lord's going to save them. I think I'm going to go buy them a Bible because I feel like they're going to need them. Why? Because I'm putting actions with that faith. Amen. Instead of getting a get out of jail card saying they're not going to get saved, because see, that past will drag you down that road and it'll keep you. It'll drag you down that road. You know, you've heard the saying, you can dig a hole you can't get out of. Do you know that you can literally dig a hole that you cannot get out of? And every day that you go down that past avenue, you can dig that hole a little deeper and you can't get out of it. I'm telling you, it's time for us to start reaching today. It's time for us to start doing something. Listen, reaching forth of those things which are before me. Amen. And press towards the mark. I got to press. I got to do something towards the mark. The mark is my destination for the prize. The prize is my goal. And through that today, I got to have a destination. I got to have a place that I'm yearning to go to. I got to have a point that I'm seeking to go to. I got to have a place where I say I get there. I've got there. I'm telling you today, church, we're not those that just go blind through this world. We're the ones today of children of the Lord that have got a destination. We've got a place that we're heading to. And church, if we ever lose that vision, we've lost our direction. We've lost our direction. I tell you, I kind of got a little experience yesterday in the hospital. I went down to see Brother J.R. and that brother that was there next to him, 77 years old. He began to share his heart with me and all. Bless his heart, he'd start to cry, and he'd stop, and he'd go share a little bit more, and he'd start to cry again. Now, my heart just melted for him. So when I got ready to go, I said, "Brother, come on over here and let us pray with you." He come right on over to Brother J.R.'s bed, and I got him all by the hands, and I began to pray. Next thing I know, that old man was speaking in tongues. Next thing I know, that joker, he was about to shout all over that room. I thought he was fixing to hit the floor any time. Amen. Oh, he just got to telling me about how the Lord had touched him so many times, but yet discouragement had gripped his heart. He began to share to me, and he said, "Discouragement has got a hold on me. Brother, I'm not seeing the things I used to see happen in God's house. I'm not seeing things happen like they once happened." He said, "There was a time when you come that people missed you. There was a time that when I was running in church, they missed me. But I no longer see that today." I'm telling you, I said, "Lord, give this man some encouragement and light a fire under him that will stir some hearts today." Amen. He's 77 years old, but the burden was heavy upon his heart. I'm telling you, it's time we forget the past and we start reaching forward to the things that are before us. We can change the future. Amen. You can't save them from the past, but you can save them from the future. God's Word declares that. But now I want to get to my message today. You ain't got to turn if you want to. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, it says this: "Be ye strong and of good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide for inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them." Amen. We're talking about Joshua, talking about the children of Israel. We're talking about forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for those things that are before us. He said this: "Be ye strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them." Notice the words, "unto these people." Unto these. Unto these. In other words, those that Joshua was seeing before him was the one that was going to get the land divided amongst them. Keep that in your heart. They were the ones that the land was going to be divided amongst. Unto these people. I'm going to divide the land and be of good courage. Amen. We get mad at God because we don't feel like He moves quick enough. We get mad at God and we say, "I want to go back and change the past." We get mad at God and we forget and quit reaching for what's before us. We get mad at God and we lose our action. We lose our destination. We lose the prize. We lose our vision and we lose our direction. We get mad at God, even though He's done declared to these children of Israel, "Under thou, I'm going to divide the land amongst these." Amen. "Under these, I'm going to divide the land." I'm telling you, if God spoke to your heart and He told you He was going to do something, I'm telling you, you can bet the farm on it because He's going to do it in His time. But sometimes we go and we get so mad at God that we trip over our own lip because it poked out so far. Because we didn't think the Lord moved quick enough in our behalf. We get so aggravated. We get so discouraged that we become a puppet on the string that the devil just has a ball playing with us. Why? Because we've lost our vision of the things that were yet before us. And we go back to that past and wallow in that past. Now the Lord is able to take care of His children. He is able to stop that sun from moving. He can move it back if He wants to. He's able to part the Red Seas in your life. He's able to change the mind of somebody in your life. Now, I preached Wednesday night. There's a lot that wasn't here Wednesday night. And I preached over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and chapter 3. And in the concordance, it talked about how Satan would hinder us. And Satan will hinder us. He will come against us. It also said in one part of the concordance that churches today no longer preach against sin. They no longer preach against Satan. They no longer preach against demonic spirits, because they feel like that it's no longer a threat and Satan is not an enemy no more. Because it's not a threat to them, so therefore they don't bring it up. So therefore the devil can come in and sit down on a pew and be just as comfortable in the church as he can in somebody's house, because somebody won't say, "Look here, devil, I found you out, you got to get out." Amen. But the other part of concordance was this, that through the hindrance, that through the temptation, the Lord is able always to overrule Satan. He is able always to overrule Satan. And I went back to where I shared the testimony of Sister Etchin. I feel like I need to share it right now. When Sister Etchin came in that day and they wanted her to sign that paper, which was a lie, she said, "I'm not going to sign it because it's a lie." They took her job away from her. And about the time they took the job away from her, she was fixing to be able to get a retirement. All that was taken away right then. We begin to pray. We begin to pray. And yes, discouragement will fill your heart. But you still got to keep reaching for that thing that's ahead of you. We begin to pray. Sister Etchin told me, "Brother Nick, I paid tithes on my money, everything. Everything. But see, we forget that the Lord can always overrule Satan." During that hindrance, during that trial, if we keep pressing and keep reaching, that the Lord can overrule Satan. Well, we know it. I was just a fixing to intervene myself in the flesh. I was fixing to call some people I know and say, "Don't you know somebody's up there where she works at? Can't you get something done about this?" And about the time she come into church, in God's time, and she said, "I got a testimony. I got a testimony." Now, Satan's doing the hindrance. Satan's doing the weariness. He's doing the tempting. He's doing everything he can do. But there come a time that the Lord intervened and said, "Satan, I overrule you." She said, "Look here. They called me in there." And she said, "You know what? Not only did I get my retirement, not only did I get my back pay, I'm a sitting in the house making more money than I was before I was a working. That ain't all of it. They wanted my husband's Social Security name, and they found out they owed him a bunch of back money as well. You tell me that Satan can't be put in his place. I'm telling you, the Lord can overrule Satan." He can. He can, church. But through that trial, we get discouraged and we start looking at the past saying, "What have I done wrong?" It ain't what we've done wrong. It's simply this, that the devil does not like them that serve the Lord. Oh, let me tell you, church. But he said, "Be of good courage, because unto this people, shall thou divide the land and inheritance." Amen. So therefore, that tells me right then, who knew was going to get the land? The devil knew. The devil was aware that unto this people, you're going to divide the land up. So the devil knew that these were the ones that was going to get the land. He knew that, Sister Karen. He already knew that. It may have not been settled in those people's hearts, but it was already settled in that devil's heart, because he knew that these were going to get the land because the Lord had already declared it. So what does he attack them with? The first thing he does, attack their belief. He attacks their trust. He brings doubt in their heart that they think they ain't going to get the land. He already knows that God said they're going to get the land, so they're going to get the land. But now he attacks them. Amen. God promised he'd take care of us. He said, "I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you." The devil knows that the Lord will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He knows that the Lord's promised you that blessing. But we the ones that begin to doubt. We doubt. We get filled with discouragement. We get filled with rebuke in our heart. We get filled where we don't want to be a part. We get filled in our heart that we feel like we just as well quit. I'm telling you, it's already been settled in heaven. Why don't we just take the Lord's word and trust in Him? Amen. I want to go a little bit farther. Amen. Joshua chapter 2 verse 9. Now we know what's happening here. "And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that your territory, your terror is falling upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Now we're talking about the harlot Rahab. When the children of Israel come to Jericho, even the harlot knew that the Lord was with them. It hadn't been declared back there that He's going to divide the land to them. The enemy knew that they were fixing to have a battle and they were going to lose the battle. Amen, church. The enemy knows that they lost. The devil knows his fate. He knows that he don't have many more days left upon this earth to tempt us today. But church, we'll just trust in the Lord and forget the things that are behind us and reach forth to those things that are before us. We can get a lot better eyes upon the Lord, and we can get a lot closer to Him, and our faith will begin to get stronger. Amen. The enemy knew, the devil knew that they was going to be the ones that possessed the land. Now, not only does the devil know, but the people know. The harlot at Jericho, she knew the terror of the Lord. She knew the power of the Lord. It goes before you, church. The Lord goes before us. Amen. He does not walk in our shadows. We walk behind Him. We've got to realize, amen, He's never behind us. He's always going before us. Amen. The devil would have us to believe that we go into the trial and then the Lord comes in and gets us out. No, sirree. When that king looked over into that fiery furnace, he looked down there. There were three men, but he seen the fourth man in the midst of the fire. Why? Because he's already in the fire before they got there. Amen. He didn't let them get burnt and then show up. He went there before the fire got there. And that's how he does in our life. Amen. That's how he does. You just keep staying with me. I got something here in a little bit for you. Amen. Joshua chapter 6, verse number 5. It said, and it came to pass, and it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the walls of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend, every man straight before him. We know that story. He said, I want y'all to make a shout, I want y'all to blow the trumpet, and then he said, I want every man, as these walls fall down flat, to ascend straight before Him. Straight before Him. So therefore, they circling that city, and I guess they probably thought amongst themselves, well, you know, I hope the Lord lets me go in right here. Because, you know, I don't believe there's many people right in here. And others say, no, I hope I get to go in right here. It was like this. When the wall went down, you go in straight before you. Right then. You don't turn and follow somebody else. You don't go around a little farther and go in. You turn right then and you go right in, because that's the path that the Lord has made for you. In church today, we've got to realize we've got to follow the path that the Lord has made for us. When He brings the wall down, you turn right then and you go through that path. Don't you come over and try to get on Brother Nixon's path. Don't you come over and try to get on Brother Carl's path. You follow the path that the Lord has laid before you. Amen. Because that's the path that He has for you. Amen. Amen. But I think here's the problem right here. Amen. We know that. We face problems. We face trials. We see all kinds of things. We realize that we're in these trials. We realize that the enemy's fighting us tooth and nail. And what we know, one of these days, I'm going to stand right here, and that wall's going to go down flat. And when it goes down flat, I'm going to turn straight in. But you know what? Not all walls fall down flat. I don't care how sanctified, how holy you are. I don't see a halo over nobody's head in this building. Not all walls are going to fall down flat. If the Lord tarries, every one of us are going to get sick and die. Amen. If He comes in the rapture, which I'm looking for Him to come in the rapture, I'm going in the rapture. But if He tarries, I'm going to get sick and die. Something's going to take me out of here. Not all walls are going to fall down flat. Just because you've seen somebody, a miracle took place in their life, and the wall went down flat, and they come a-pressing in, I thank the Lord that He done it for them, but that does not mean that it's going to happen that way for me. We got the illusion, and we have been deceived. If I serve the Lord, there's going to be a red carpet that's rolled out before me, and I'm going to walk through there and not even get the smell of smoke on me. Some people don't get the smell of smoke on, but some people got to go through the fire before they ever find that they can serve the Lord with all their heart. Amen. We have been deceived, and I'm telling us today that serving the Lord
You got to fight for what you believe in. For serving the Lord, it ain't a cakewalk. For serving the Lord, we got to have a desire to serve Him. And you're going to be tried as by fire. You may be deceived and stand there and say, praise God, if He'll bring that wall down flat, I'm going to give Him all my heart. But church, not every wall is going to go down flat. I thank the Lord for the wall He does push down flat that I can turn and walk right in. But I've found, Sister Lobby, that some walls won't go down flat. Amen. I can stand still and I can pray 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 and the wall's still facing me. Well, you say, what are you going to do? Go to plan B? No, sir, I'm going to plan C, which is Christ. Because He don't move that wall down, Sister Karen. If He don't make that wall go down flat, am I going to trust in Him any less? No, sir. I'm going to trust in Him just that much more. Because, see, I believe in what God's Word says. I believe that He's able to take care of that what's been committed unto Him. I believe that today. Amen. You may be so mad at God because you said, I stood at this wall here and it's been there so many times, so many days, and I feel like the Lord ought to bring it down flat. And I ain't going to do nothing but just stand here. I'm going to get mad at God. I'm going to back up. I'm going to sow. I'm going to get in the corner. I ain't going to do anything but pout until He brings that wall down. You may be sitting there and a gourd may grow over your head. But see here, this is what happens. We find it here. 2 Samuel chapter 22. It says this here. For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God, I have leaped over a wall. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by thee I have leaped over a wall. Why are you sitting there on the ground saying, oh me, Lord, move this wall. Let it go down flat. Why don't you jump up and say, in the name of Jesus, I'm jumping over this wall and getting over it. I'm going to run through the troop. Well, let me tell you, we've been deceived and we think we need to just sit down and let the Lord do it. He give us strength. He give us power. He give us strength and He give us power. But if we're not careful, we'll sit down at that wall right there and starve to death spiritually. When the whole time is all we got to do is make that first effort, that first action, and the power come that we can leap over that wall. I hate to know I starved to death when all I had to do was just leap over a wall. I hate to know I sat there and there was a troop out there and God was going to give me the power to run through that troop. But because of what I seen with these natural eyes, I sat there scared to death. I hate to know that I've been deceived so long because I looked only through the natural eyes and I didn't trust in the spiritual eyes. I hate to know that I spent my whole life saying, Lord, move this mountain. And I never cried one time, Lord, give me strength to climb this mountain. Church, some walls ain't going to fall flat. Some troops ain't going to get out of the way. But I'm telling you, God wants you to go through it. He's going to give you strength to run through that troop. He's going to give you the power to leap that wall. Amen. There's people in this church right here that have had walls before them and you never once thought about it. Well, maybe He's given me the strength to go over that wall. Oh, let me tell you, church. If I was caught somewhere and they had me on an island somewhere, had me with a wall surrounding me in prison, I can guarantee you they didn't hand out shovels. I can guarantee you they didn't hand out pitchforks. They didn't hand out hammers. They didn't have any of that stuff. You know what I'll do? I know good and well that wall ain't going to fall flat unless the Lord sends an earthquake. But until He sends an earthquake, I'm going to be figuring out how to get over that wall. They better not leave no loose strings laying around because I'm going to make me a rope. I'm going to weave me a rope. They better not leave no rocks laying around. I'm going to build me a ladder. What are you saying? I'm telling us, God, give us the power in these two hands and our heart that we can trust in the Lord, that we can make a way instead of us sitting there saying, Lord, I need that wall to go flat. I need that wall to go flat. Amen. I'm telling us today, amen, we got to reach out sometime. We got to use action. Sometime we got to press for. We got to reach and we've got to forget that past. Amen. He may have put a wall down in your life one time before and you're saying, I'm waiting for that same wall to go again. Forget that past and go forward in the name of Jesus and He'll help you through those trials. Amen. But church, listen here. I want to read a little bit more. Amen. For by thee I have run through a troop. For by my God I have leaped over a wall. Verse 31 of chapter 22 of 2 Samuel says, as for God, His ways is perfect. The word of the Lord is true, tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in Him. He is a buckler to all them that trust in Him. The word buckler means a shield used to cover or protect the body. He's that that we use to cover and protect the body. Ain't it something how He put those two verses together? I want to read it in what I would call Southport terms. Amen. For by thee I have run through a troop, past tense. By my God I have leaped over a wall, past tense. For by my God, His ways is perfect. His word of the Lord is tried. And He is my shield. He is my cover. He's my protector over them that trust in Him. Oh, I tell you today, church, I can rise up and say, wait a minute. I have had this wall in my life long enough. I've had this truth before me long enough. I know that He's my shield. I know He's my cover. I know He's my protector. And I'm coming in the name of the Jesus. And I tell you, I'm going to see the miracle move. I'm going to see it take place in my life. Amen. But instead, I think we do like some people who drown sometimes. If you're familiar with the water, you know we got what we call the green reef out there. You walk off that beach, and it gets deep. It goes over your head. You go out there about 100 yards, and there's what they call the green reef. It just shallows right up. About this deep. Sometimes this deep, sometimes this deep. There has been many a person that has walked in those waters and the current has carried them out to the green reef, but yet they were so much panicked in their life and so confused and so startled that all they had to do was just stand up. Just simply stand up and survive. But yet they fought it. They fought it. In a time of panic and rage that they carried herself right on across that green reef and they drowned. The devil's trying to keep us confused this morning. The devil's trying to keep us fighting this morning. The devil's trying to keep us to the place that we can't get a hold of things in the right mind and say, wait a minute, I'm standing. I'm standing. Either the wall's going down or I'm going over it. I'm not going to be swept out today. Either the wall's going down or I'm going up. Either these troops are getting out of my life or I'm going through them. Let me tell you today, how many has ever seen somebody with a made-up mind that their mind is determined already by outcome? You can't persuade them. You can't change their mind. Amen. They're going. They're going. The devil's tried to change some minds. He's tried to bring some doubt in some hearts. He's tried to bring some people to the place. God don't love me because that wall is still there. When in reality, He's given you strength to climb that wall. And to do something about it. We can sit in that pity pool if we want to. And just pity party all we want to do. We can whine. We can cry. We can talk. We can grumble. We can gripe. We can do everything we want to do in our natural. And God's saying, son, rise up and jump this wall. Leap over this wall. Because on the other side of that wall, there's going to be strength. On the other side of that wall, there's going to be happiness. But see, we thought the Lord ought to do it the way we thought He ought to do it. Oh, she da-da-da-da-da, dear my time. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, she da-da-da-da-da, dear my time. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, she da-da-da-da-da, dear my time. Yea, for behold, I say unto thee this day that I have given thee the power. I say unto thee this day that I have given thee the wisdom. But I say unto thee that thou hast leaned to thy own understanding. I say unto thee, if thou will rise up, and come back and trust in me, thou shalt find that I have made a way for thee. But I say to thee, thou must come to me and serve me. Lord, we praise you today, Jesus. Jesus, we praise you today. Lord, we praise you today. We praise you today, Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, how many will be truthful this morning and say, I'm going to raise my hand, Brother Nick. I got a wall I need to be dealing with. Lift your hand. Lift your hand. There's hands all over this building here. There's hands all over this building saying there's a wall that I need the Lord to help me deal with today. He's able to help us today. He's able right now. Lord, I praise you today, Jesus. You see these hands right now that were lifted. I ask today, Jesus, that you would give them strength. But Lord, I ask if you're going to move the wall and let it go flat, I thank you for that, Jesus. But Lord, if you choose not to let it go flat, I pray that you give us the strength that we rise up and leap that wall. but we don't sit at the base of that wall and die spiritually. I pray today, Jesus, that you would stir our heart right now. And Lord, I pray if there's one in this building that does not know you, I pray right now, Jesus, that you'll deal with their heart. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you want me to pray with you, I'm not going to come get you and bring you up front. I'm not going to embarrass nobody. Lift your hand this morning. Is there a hand in this building that you'll say, Brother Miller, will you pray for? Thank you for that hand. Is there another hand in this building? Thank you for that hand. The Lord sees the hands. Is there another one? Is there another one? Lord, you see these hands right now, Jesus. I pray right now that you, Lord, I talk to them today. And I pray that they'll talk to you. I pray, Jesus, that I ask you into their heart. I pray right now, Jesus, that they'll trust in you. And Lord, I pray that they'll ask you to lead them, that they'll ask you to guide them. I pray, Lord, that they'll sell out to you, Jesus, that they'll follow you with all their heart, their soul, their mind, their strength. They'll love you, Lord. They'll trust in you today, Jesus, through the bad times, through the good times, Lord. I pray today, Jesus, that they'll move, that they'll move, that they'll move. Before I call everybody to the altar, I want to say one more thing. I want everybody to look at me right now. I feel like discouragement has become a wall in some lives. I feel like discouragement has become a wall in some lives in this building. And I feel like if you'll come in faith, the Lord will help you leap over that wall. And on the other side of that wall, you're going to find peace. You're going to find happiness. But as long as you stay at the foot of that wall, that wall is going to get taller and taller and taller, and you're going to get weaker and weaker and weaker. Lord, give us strength to rise up and to come over that wall, to leap over that wall. I want us all to come to this altar to come this morning. Come on down here. Let's pray right now. Let's talk to Him today. Let's ask Him to...